Hi.
Hey, how's it going up there?
It's good.
Hot and windy here.
It's warm here too. I think it's close to 80 degrees.
Wow. Weird how that keeps getting worse and worse, huh? Hot, cold, like it's broken or something. Go figure.
I know, a week ago, the high temperature was not even 60. And we had the first frost.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like 3 weeks earlier than usual.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing about this whole climate change thing that people aren't really understanding. You know, it's one of the feedback loops. It's not necessarily just going to be hot the whole time, you know. I mean, that's what the science would say in a closed environment, but Earth has so many different types of closed environments. So different things are going to happen at different times, you know. It's like a car breaking. It doesn't necessarily just take a shit all at once. Little things happen and, you know, anyway. So, you get yourself some questions together? Are you recording this?
I did, and I am. Before we get into that, I just want to clarify. So, it is technically global warming because the temperature of the entire Earth is increasing, right?
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily the global temperature, yes, is increasing, but in most places, south of the Arctic and north of the Antarctic, things are going to start cooling more than anything. The biggest problem is the Arctic region, though, where you might only see a half a degree Fahrenheit difference in North America, or maybe even it'll get cooler. Let's say it even goes 2 or 3 degrees cooler by average. The average increase in the Arctic is like in the teens, you know, 10 to 20 degrees increase. And that's really what your problem is. You can have all these weird little back and forth things happening in a place like North America, and it'll generally be able to recover. But when you have something that's jumping up very quickly in somewhere like the Arctic, that releases a lot of things that are trapped by permafrost. And that's where your real problem is. Not a problem of, you know, people having to buy jackets for the end of summer or, you know, wear shorts in January. That has nothing to do with it. The problem is these feedback loops that are happening in the Arctic region. Massive ice sheets breaking off, you know, things like that. When the permafrost starts to defrost and release methane and all of the stored carbon dioxide, that's really where your problem is. You can play this political game back and forth, and that's generally what dumb fucks do, because all they can do is look at what's happening to them in their own region. You know, it's normally, what's funny is I usually get into this with people like from Los Angeles or New York or something. They're like, you know, in January they say shit like, what are you talking about? It's 20 degrees here today, you know, or something like that. There's no global warming. It's cold here, and it's September, you know, but if you look at what's happening with the temperature changes in the Arctic region, that's really where the problem is. So when you're talking about the global average itself, that massive increase that's slowly but surely building every year, that's happening in regions where things like permafrost are actually not even living up to their preferred nomenclature anymore, you know. They're not really permanent anymore, in other words. You get these huge sinkholes, and the ground researchers and, you know, professors and what have you that travel to those regions specifically to study that shit. And it's a big, big fucking problem. Like, you can't tell somebody that from, you know, Florida. All they do is hear the one little fucking snippet about, you know, water rising and them buying land next to the ocean and, oh, but it hasn't risen into the rate that they said it would. And even that's stupid because the way that water would rise wouldn't even happen that way. You know, there's a band in the middle of the earth where the bulge, essentially from the centrifugal tension of the earth itself, thrusts itself outward. Like if you were to spin a basketball and then pour a bunch of water over the top of it, it wouldn't just, you know, fling itself outward from the entire sphere. It would coagulate down to the very middle, and you would see one band in the middle of the basketball flinging water outward. So it's a difficult thing to get people to understand, but in one way or the other, they'll fucking learn.
And it's caused by greenhouse gases?
No, ultimately it's caused by the sun. That said, the catalyst to that could be considered carbon dioxide, but I think at this point in time the biggest problem is methane. Because methane literally eats atmosphere. That's why it's so much more destructive. Even if you pumped a bunch more carbon dioxide into the air, you could fix that by, you know, growing plants, or we were talking about last night, with sequestering it in some way. But once the methane's in the air, you're kind of fucked. The only way to properly deal with the methane problem is to burn it. That's why I said, when it comes to methane, you know, natural gas, propane, stuff like that, I'm all for burning it, because it's a hell of a lot easier to deal with carbon dioxide than it is with methane. Plus, it's very light. You know, it's a difficult thing to fully comprehend, but even as the sun gets warmer slowly over time, there's ways that we can combat that by maintaining our atmosphere, and then at least when these big bands of solar minimums or solar maximums hit, then we can deal with it. Right now it's like a double whammy. The sun's, well, it was anyway for the last, 19, 20 years when we were at solar maximum. Now we're entering into a solar minimum, but at solar maximum, you know, we were pumping an enormous amount of CO2 into the atmosphere. So it's never just one thing. This is a solar system-wide event occurring, basically, where all the planets are dealing with a rise in temperatures. The problem that Earth is having is that not only are we dealing with the rise in temperatures, but we're making it a lot easier to absorb that heat. Whereas, anything that's happened before this oil economy, essentially, it would have been more or less just reflected back into space, as light. But it's never just one thing. This is a very complex system. People want to look at it as though it's that kind of a problem, and I'm not saying that it's going to stop even when we get our carbon dioxide back down to an equilibrium. It'll just be one less part of it that is a problem to deal with. The first thing that we have to do, like I said, I'm not even against burning fuel, so to speak, as long as it's carbon neutral. That's really the point here, is to get ourselves so that we can actually control the energy to maintain them. Nobody's really considered the fact that at some point we were not going to be able to use gasoline anymore, which means we're going to have to try, at least, to remove all of those objects from the infrastructure itself. That's going to take an enormous amount of energy just to do that. It's not even equated into people's economic models, I guess you could say. You know, it's like when you decommission a gas station, you have to take the fucking, you have to take the tanks out of the ground because eventually they'll, you know, corrode, rust away, and leach that shit back into the environment and basically make the soil impossible to grow anything on. So just leave a bunch of dead zones. If you think of how many gasoline stations there are on this planet right now that process needs to happen, that hasn't been added into anyone's economic model, the amount of energy that is already accounted for just because they exist, that has not been added into the economic models, is enormous. That's why I said, if, you know, people don't even understand how much a gallon of gasoline costs. They don't even think about it because all they do is look at that number at the on the sign at the gas station when they go to get it pumped, you know. They forget about the fact that without the enormous amount of military presence in the Middle East, I'm talking nuclear aircraft carriers, all of the supply ships, submarines, frigates, fucking destroyers, you know, you name it, all those different things are there to protect the ability for oil tankers to bring oil throughout the whole world. That's why they exist in the first place, in those areas. So that is a direct cost associated back into every gallon of gasoline that gets burned. It's just subsidized through taxes. So you don't see it until you pay your taxes. And in most cases, people never even really, you know, do the math sheets on where that money is going. So if you were to really look at the cost of how much a gallon of gasoline costs the average American right now, it's probably closer to $20 to $30 a gallon, roughly. And that's only going to increase. Like I said, if you were to add in everything I just said about removing all the gasoline tanks and refitting all of the oil tankers that are bringing oil back and forth, retraining every single person that's involved in the oil economy, I'm talking, you know, drill riggers, engineers, petroleum geologists, when they're out, you know, doing all of their exploration shit. If you take all of the energy that it's going to take to undo that system, even if there was something that was viable as an alternative, the amount of energy that's been wasted trying to create a crude oil economy is astronomical. I mean, if you really took everything into consideration, every single thing into consideration, a gallon of gasoline probably costs not just the people alive right now, but the people that will be alive when the entire crude oil economy collapses. It probably costs closer to $50 to $100 a gallon gasoline. It's amazing what propaganda can do, though. I mean, people really are stupid, especially when they're selfish. It's easy to sell them shit. You know, that's what the whole Edward Bernays shit was all about. I mean, you give them a 20-cent increase at the pump, and they start freaking out, and you're like, what the hell are you talking about? Your fucking taxes just went up last year, you know, like 10, 20%, so that we could put a couple more aircraft carriers in the Persian Gulf. And like, you know, I don't know. An interesting game that I've been equating for a very long time now. It's just surprising the way that people look at it. They have no idea what's actually going on. And from a complete perspective, all they do is just take it in as they go, you know. As far as, like, you know, filling your car up and getting a pop at the gas station every day, they don't even consider everything that needs to be in place just to make that happen. But I always have. Like I said, that's what the whole Lankifier is about. I see intelligent people. It just means that they're really good at reading newspaper articles instead of actually doing research on systems. Plus the aftermath of a system. That's what I'm really talking about when I'm talking about like all the things that we have to undo and why this problem is going to stretch way into the future after it does collapse. There's a lot of problems that need to be rectified, and the only way you can do that is with the energy. It's not like you can manual labor yourself into pulling a fucking, 100,000-gallon tank out of the ground. But that does need to be done. At some point, that has to happen. And I'm talking every single fucking gas station in the planet. Like, how many of those exist? A lot, man. Big problems, Anyway, we'll figure it out, or we won't. Not my call, Is that what you wanted to talk about today? You know, the economy shit?
I'll continue starting with that. So, the real problem that is causing climate change is not just greenhouse gases in themselves, but ozone depletion.
That's one of the bigger problems, yeah, because another one of the problems that's existing based off of what has happened, using Australia as an example, is a good place to start. Like I told you, Australopithecus was not, those genes were basically evolved into, there were different parts along the way where there were things that were added here and there, and a couple of the different tribesmen throughout the last couple of cataclysm cycles did breed externally and just basically got upgraded genetics from the fact that others had been, upgraded, I guess you could say, created is what I like to call it. But using Australia as an example, the fact that they're, the Aborigines, Australopithecus, they're so, stupid, I guess you could say, and in the moment, selfish. What they did there, prior to about 40,000 years ago, right before creation actually happened, for what you would call the modern Homo sapien right now, their method of hunting there was more or less to just burn everything in sight and either catch the animals that were trying to flee from the fire or just wait until they got burned up and go and, harvest the already cooked meat, I guess you could say. After doing that for that entire span of time, I'm talking from 40 to 50,000 years ago up until about 1,000 years ago, that was their main source of hunting. And after a while, what ended up happening was it turned the entire fucking continent of Australia into a desert. Before it was like a rainforest. All of Australia was like a rainforest. And what that meant was that a lot of cloud cover and a lot of soil cover from the plants themselves were instantly gone. Cloud cover does a good job, especially if it's feeding into an ecosystem like a rainforest, of deflecting sunlight. And that's really what the problem is. That the more we fuck with all of these different environments and desertification and what have you spreads, you lose an enormous amount of cloud cover that stretches its way not only on the continent surfaces but also into the oceans. And that's really where you get your big problems, is because the ocean covers a lot more area on the globe than land does. The unfortunate part about that is it's basically dark blue. The darker the surface, the more heat gets absorbed. So you have this desertification thing, like environment going back and forth to create rain clouds and weather systems that funnel their way through the various thermal haline conveyor systems, they all start to break down, and it's more than anything, it's a problem of deflecting the heat. You know, Earth has just become this huge absorber, I guess you could say, of heat for all of those different reasons, and it only gets worse and worse. So like once Australia became a desert, you're going to be dealing with the problems from that for tens of thousands of years until you can turn it back into a rainforest, you know. And then, who knows how long it's going to be before that finds its own equilibrium again. The same problems happening in China, all over the fucking place, in Africa, in the United States specifically. I mean, there was a huge problem with that. That's what created the Dust Bowl. They destroyed all of the grasslands around here. This was like ground zero for the Dust Bowl, by the way, where I'm staying right now. Up by Diamond, that's up on the Oklahoma Panhandle, around Liberal, Kansas, those kind of areas. That literally was ground zero for this problem. And the whole thing was created by this want and desire to have more farmers growing wheat. Now wheat, it still happens around here a lot, but wheat doesn't have the same kind of root structure that the native grasses and stuff like that have here. The native grasses and the mesquite trees and what have you, they're very, very deep roots. Those roots go way into the ground, and not only are they able to access water in that way, but they keep the ground in state of suspension that wheat just can't do. And if the natural rains, just 1 year worth of drought, for example, would cause an enormous problem in decades there following, if the entire area was plowed and wheat was planted, that's what created the Dust Bowl, though. You have this huge push to try to make, or try to get a bunch of farmers to plant wheat, mainly because in that time there was depression and what have you, and wheat was easy to process and turn into, you know, things like bread and crackers and shit, and easy to store food sources. But what ended up happening was is they completely ransacked the whole fucking area of all of the native grasses and plant life and animal life that existed in this area that kept it in check for a long time. And that was more or less how the Dust Bowl happened. They had 1 year of really dry weather, and it wiped out all of the wheat crops. And what ended up happening after that was that the entire land was nothing but dust. There wasn't anything to hold it in check, and this place is windy as fuck. You know, they call it Tornado Alley for a reason. So what ended up happening next, all that dust went up into the air in huge dust storms, which made it even harder to create the rain on the backside of it. Because like I said, you know, once something like that happens, you've not only eliminated the cloud cover that would deflect the heat and produce the rain to grow the grasses, now you have this huge portion of darker heat-absorbing mass broke it, and then that's what the government did, is they put a moratorium on a very large portion of land here for growing wheat. Jane was telling me, actually, there's quite a few plots of land around here where the government will pay you to not do anything to it. Like, you can't grow cattle on it, you can't plow it and grow wheat, you can't use it even for hay. It's just a certain portion of the land in this area has to be dedicated to at least keeping the soil on the ground, you know? Those are the things they tried to do to fix it, you know? Obviously, it's worked this long, but if you lose all of those underground water reservoirs, like I've been talking about, the Ogallala, it doesn't matter how much fucking land you try to save, unless you literally save all of it, just let the environment produce itself. Everything that is wheat in these areas that's pulling from the Ogallala Reservoir to water it, it's just going to go right back to Dust Bowl type shit until the grasses can slowly, you know, infiltrate all of those areas again. It's a significant problem. And it's just the United States. I mean, shit like that's happening all over the world. China's actually kind of having the opposite effect right now because they're having so much overproduction of rain. You know, they're having the exact opposite problem, where a large portion of their deserts in the area, they're actually combating it. They're trying their hardest to turn all of those areas back into usable land. Like, they're able to feed a lot more of their cattle now. They're able to plant a lot more plants to try to stem the progress of desertification. But like I said, unless you got the entirety of your populace working towards that effort, you may see improvements in some areas, but desertification is going to continuously push forward otherwise. At some point, they will be able to stem that problem. But at the same time, you know, if the whole rest of the world isn't helping, it's not going to help to just do that one country. It's just a waste of time anyway. Eventually, everything will be like Australia. And the whole fucking place is basically a desert, other than the very outermost regions where the rain water that does fall there eventually lands. That's another problem with Australia, is most of the water that they do use in the interior there is coming from reservoir sources, similar to the way we're doing in the United States with the San Joaquin Valley Reservoir and the Ogallala Reservoir. That's why you saw the huge explosion in kangaroos there, by the way. I mean, kangaroos were never, you know, outnumbering people before we started taking water from those reservoirs. But now that's exactly what's happening there. They have these huge lakes that they're creating out in the middle of fucking nowhere for farming or mining, mainly mining when you're talking Australia. But they create these huge lakes, and it's allowed the kangaroo population to just go absolutely apeshit. They have, I'm pretty sure that's an accurate statement, at least it was a couple of years ago, that there are more kangaroos than people in Australia. And that's exactly why, is because we've pumped all the water from the underground reservoirs, which is an even bigger problem than the oil economy. The way I've equated it in my head, because those underground reservoirs are actually what's creating populations. It's almost like the kangaroos are kind of the canary in the coal mine to explain the problem that happens next. After you lose the water from those underground reservoirs, it takes tens of thousands of years to replenish it. So all of the food that's being created from that underground water and the population that's been able to grow because of it is suddenly going to be without food. And what are you going to do? You know, like I said, there's people turn into a different kind of animal when they're trying to survive based on the fact that their food is gone. It's a very complex situation. It has a lot of different problems attached to it. For whatever reason, I guess I'm the only one that had my eye on the ball, I guess you could say, which is kind of funny to say that, but I was going to say eye on the globe as a whole. My whole life, it's all I've ever been thinking about. And every time I research these statistics and watch the population grow and, you know, more crude oil economy gets burnt and, you know, and then they start talking about shale. Like, shale and fracking, huge, huge fucking water situation with that. It's going to last for, again, tens of thousands of years. You can't do anything with the chemicals and the shit that they're creating from that problem. There's no way to get rid of it. The only way that you can do anything about it is to kind of, and this is what I've seen around here, is they create these big man-made lakes with some sort of latex material that's the liner to the lake. And they just pump all of this absolutely horribly toxic and destructive water into these areas, into these man-made, you know, holding ponds, they call them. And chemicals and water slowly gasify and go back into the environment through atmospheric problems, which again creates more problems, you know, because that, it's like, what's that movie where it's called Envy, I think, where they're talking about vaporize, you know, where they spray the shit with that aerosol can and then the shit just disappears, and eventually they're like, okay, it can't just disappear, the shit is going somewhere, you know, and that's what ended up happening to the horse. They were spraying so much of its shit, and it was turning into vapor, and it would get all over the apples, and then the horse would eat the apples, and it killed the fucking horse. So that's what you're looking at with fracking. Again, that's another one of those things that's not added into the economic platforms or models when they're trying to sell people on if it's economically viable or not. You know, all they're talking about when they're trying to sell those kinds of things to the public is how they can extract some sort of economic complexity from it, and that's where it stops. They don't ever talk about all the different cleanup things that have to happen, or the cost in energy from swapping back over to gasoline, or swapping back over to some sort of non-energy environment, or swapping to a viable alternative. All of those things have huge energy costs to them that just get left out. You know, it's not very easy to sell the public on something that's going to kill them. So they take the equation either a quarter of the way or half of the way, whichever looks better to whatever populace that they're dealing with, in a very Edward Bernays kind of a way. They sell them to a certain point until they can get them to act on it. And that's what happened with fracking, that's what happened with shale, that's what happened with tar sands in Canada. And all you do is you sell them on an idea, and eventually they're willing to just ass rape their fucking environment until it's completely destroyed. Why? So that they can buy a new truck in the moment, so they can buy a new gun, so they can fuck a new girlfriend, so they can, you know, you go down the list. But eventually, going to have to deal with that shit, and it's going to hit them in the face when they don't have any energy to make dealing with it easy. That's why I said that what's happening in the future here is going to be an enormous amount of manual labor, and that's really the only solution. It sucks, but that's what humans have done to themselves. When people look outside and get excited and happy about technological progress and say that what we've done is, you know, so cool and special and we're so great for having, you know, created all of these systems and look at how smart we are, they have no idea that they're actually pointing a gun at their own head and pulling the trigger. That's what they're doing, though. I mean, that's the actual fact of the matter. I can, like I said, I can go on and on about the oil economy for days I've been studying this shit in depth over 20 years now, probably more so than any oil company executive or even, you know, college professor on this kind of shit. I could point you to an enormous amount of research papers on this that would, you would look at them and be like, how the fuck did this not enter into, you know, the mainstream? And you just have to go back to the Jews. That's really what that all comes back to. Like, people talk about how the Jews and the Arabs hate each other and there's all of the infighting and shit. That's all bullshit. It's all just to sell the public on the necessary means to keep, you know, building our military and what have you. I mean, it's called the fucking petrodollar. The petrodollar. Seriously, think about what that means. Jews run the fucking banking system, and more or less, the Arabs and some of the white people, like, more or less Arabs, nothing but now, run the oil economy. The petrodollar. They're working side by side, and have been working side by side, for their own benefit, over everybody else alive, and pushing propaganda otherwise, for the better part of 100 years now. And nobody's the wiser about it. It's called the fucking petrodollar. They need each other. If you didn't have oil, you wouldn't have the fucking banking system. If you didn't have the banking system, you wouldn't have anywhere to sell the oil. Pretty crazy, isn't it? That's what's funny about it, is people look at me like I'm crazy. I look at everybody else like, it's not so much that they're crazy, it's that they're so stupid. They allow themselves to be seen as crazy to anything outside of Earth. This is how everything outside of Earth looks at Earth. They see everything I see. Seriously, it's like looking at an entire fucking planet full of lunatics that are desperately trying to kill themselves. If you took all the language out and all the niceties and all the bullshit that people say to themselves back and forth about, oh, I love you, or I care about you, and all that kind of shit that people pretend is what's happening on the surface, if you just took that away, just looked at what the actions are, that's what it would look like. It would look like the entire fucking planet over the last 40 to 50,000 years literally trying to murder itself. I should say more like 36,000 years, because like I said, after about 40,000 years ago, that was when we were, quote, created, unquote. So that was where we were taught, essentially, to start taking care of shit. But like I said, we almost from the beginning, after we kicked our banker off, it's just been this constant draw towards, you know, suicide. But I'm calling it omnicide. Of course, omnicide, you know, that word right there has got a little bit different meaning. I would say it's omnicide from my perspective. Whereas from everybody else's perspective that even considering these problems, they would call it ecocide. Or most people would just call it suicide, but in reality, it is omnicide. It's more like cognitive dissonant omnicide is the best way that I could explain that. We actually are killing each other by doing this shit to ourselves in the same way that it would be done on a quick level if there was, you know, a nuclear holocaust worldwide. That's really what omnicide would be. If it was just blatant, everybody fucking trying to kill everybody else in one shot. But I see it as omnicide because of what the actual mechanisms that we're using to destroy ourselves are. I mean, you could call that a lot of different things, but anyway, that's what I call it.
So, what you explained about the Dust Bowl is a factor in the problems with growing crops on a large scale. And another factor in that is obviously the dependence on crude oil that we have for growing crops on a large scale. So, for the most part, do you suggest that we do not continue growing crops on a large scale until, I mean, in an email you said basically not until we have the pyramids?
Yes. The reason for that is because I would like to see the crops actually grown on the pyramids. That's the whole point. It's not that, I think growing crops on a wide scale is a bad thing. I do think that industrial agriculture is a good thing. But everybody needs to participate in growing their own food. Like I said, the pyramids that you see in the world right now, they didn't have the same problems as we do in this era. So I've added that, I guess you could say. There are upgrades that I've made to the actual pyramid structure that I was taught to help mitigate all these other problems. If you were growing crops, if you designed your pyramid almost like an aquaponic farm, that's really what I mean when I say that. If you grew your crops like an aquaponic farm on a pyramid surface, you would allow the soil to replenish itself. You would take all of the onus of the introduction of food processing for the human race itself and eliminate that burden on the land, which also needs to happen. Because like I said, even if you were to try to do the water farming methods that I'm talking about, if you didn't have some way to replenish that water on its own, you're fucked anyways. It's like you couldn't take a 100-acre plot, for example. You could do it if you were using cattle with regenerative grazing structure like I'm talking about, normally shade. But if you were trying to farm water and water your crops from like a 100-acre plot, you couldn't use the farming water methods that I'm talking about. There's just simply not enough water. And like I said, you couldn't use surface water either at this point because that would take, an enormous amount of energy to build and maintain aquifer-type structures. Same way they did in California. I mean, like, if you were to try to use the Great Lakes, for example, the energy cost that would go into a project like that would make it immediately negative on the energy return on investment scale. Not only that, but you'd also be fucking up the environment, stealing water from those areas. Have those kind of problems on top of it. And that's not even before I start talking about how fucked up the water is. You know, from fracking and pesticides and fertilizers and stuff that we're using from all these GMO crops, you know, that shit slowly but surely finds its way into all these waterways and fucks everything up. So, when we're talking about crops on a large scale, specifically like for vegetarian or vegan purposes in that way, I wouldn't say that that's a viable option until we start growing, or until we start building pyramids. Because let's just say, for example, and I'm pretty sure that this is an accurate statement, but I don't have the numbers right in front of me. I think the Great Pyramid of Giza is about an acre in size at its footprint. You create that pyramid, you are turning that 1 acre, and I can't do this math off the top of my head, but I'm just guessing you turn that 1 acre into, like, you know, 1.5 or 1.75 acres of new land or new surface area. So that's the way I can explain that. Again, using aquifers, using all of the surface water, it wouldn't be a viable option to be able to water all of that new land, which is why you need to get back into the farming water thing. You know, and eventually what would happen with that, and I see this in my mind, behind at the very end. Just imagine the entire Earth's surface covered in pyramids. But you wouldn't see pyramids. It would just look like a whole bunch of miniature forests and, you know, crops and stuff like that. So even if you were, you know, farming water, there is a point on the horizon where you wouldn't even have to farm water anymore, because just the transpiration and cycling of the water through the plant structures and back into the atmosphere, and through the plant structures and back into the atmosphere, you'd essentially be creating rainforests everywhere. But if you did that on a global scale, where there were just pyramids fucking everywhere, it'd be absolutely beautiful, first and foremost. But let's say you started doing things like knocking down the Rocky Mountains, knocking down the Himalayas, and smoothing out all of these different problems that have occurred because of plate tectonics over the millions of years. What you would do is you'd essentially be creating a golf ball. All of these different little miniature valleys that are existing in between the pyramids. They would create this convex shape, which would make the wind up above them increase. So that would make pulling in wind generation that much easier, and it would be a lot more predictable. You know, the entire fucking jet stream would get closer to the Earth's surface instead of having to raise wind generation equipment up to meet it. You would bring the entirety of that system that you're trying to gain access to closer to you. So in other words, a lot of the things that I talk about, a lot of the solutions that I'm offering they're like the opposite. They're almost exactly the opposite in any way that I'm going to try to explain them from any of the conventional methods of going about shit that we're doing now. If you opened up the Rockies, for example, you would have a lot more access to weather that would be beneficial, as opposed to it being destructive and us creating a bunch of systems just to deal with the fact that it's so destructive, which is what we do now. You know, we allow nature to dictate how we behave, where I say we behave so that we can control nature. Big difference when you're talking to somebody like me as opposed to anybody that's gone to college for the last 100 years. They're literally taught to do the opposite of what it is I'm talking about. But then again, most of them, they're not looking at the entire system. They do the Jew thing, you know, or they find one little complexity and become a fucking expert in it and disregard anything and everything else that's a part of it. That's normally the problem when you're looking at documentaries and shit on people from the things like Greenpeace and PETA and shit like that. They're not looking at the entire situation for what it is. They're trying to, you know, either kill off a lot of people or a lot of animals to allow nature to do what nature does. Where I'm trying to say, look, we got this huge workforce. This is a great, you know, resource in and of itself. Let's utilize that labor to make this a better place, as opposed to just allowing it to be as good as it is after all the Aborigines destroyed an entire continent and the Chinese fished all the waters out, you know. Instead of dealing with it after all of those problems that have been created, let's try to use that labor to our advantage, you know. I doubt that's going to happen, but it's possible. Yeah, when it comes to something like I talk about, again, it like we were discussing last night, you know, you have to base it off of what question and the form in which you've asked me it. You know, you're talking about the Dust Bowl stuff and all of that with the crops. I think that all that area should be replenished with a great herd of bison, you know, buffalo. And then we should just start building. with the natural environment. Let's try to make the natural environment better, and then that will be our profit. So you won't even lose any of the natural environment. You will actually be, you know, bolstering it, making it better. And then you can take the profit, quote unquote, from that. Until we do that,
yeah, and there's many questions resulting from that. I mean, one that stands out is you are suggesting that we flatten the Rocky Mountains?
The whole Earth. The Rocky Mountains are a problem for weather system management. This is a huge problem. It creates this upward draft in all of the major mountain systems throughout the world. That's what it's doing. You have these high and low pressure systems that are pushing against themselves, and they get pushed slowly eastward on the various different jet stream currents of the upper atmosphere. That's really what the biggest problem is. So you have these things that hit these mountains at, you know, bodies of air, and either low pressure systems or high pressure systems, they hit these mountains and go upward. That's what pushes all of the weather upward. Well, if you slowly but surely over the next, this is like a, you know, 200-300 million year project, by the way, but if you were to slowly but surely start to focus on taking the entire Earth's surface, at least where the land mass is now, and trying to smooth it out, what you would do is you would be eliminating those very large upward draft movements. And you'd be creating a system where the weather was a lot more controllable. So that's what you have to do to create your Dyson sphere. You got to look at the Earth in a different way. The entire Earth, to me, is a spaceship. That's what this place is. That's what it was originally intended for. And after you make it to, you know, type 3, 4, 5 civilization, instead of using crafts to leave your planet, you'll actually leave your solar system with your planet. That's what our creators did hundreds of millions of years ago, just to give you an idea for how advanced they are. I mean, they literally used their globe that they were created on as a spaceship. That's what humans need to start doing. Again, this is way into the future. You know, I mean, right now you're dealing with purity and self-segregation. This shit isn't even on the map of some people, but I've already thought this process through hundreds of millions of years into the future. One way or the other, you have to start planning on leaving this place anyway. Might as well take your Earth with you, because the sun is going to die. It's going to expand outward, get higher and hotter, and then eventually collapse. That is on the horizon, whether you want it to be or not. of possible if you have the entire species working towards that goal. Like I said, once you start getting into divine-inspired technologies, a lot of things happen after that. And that'll be what the majority of humanity tries to work towards. The first goal, before you can even consider that, though, is to at least try, to smooth out, I guess you could say, the entire Earth's surface. And that's how you go about that. Like, the way I see it, in the future, there'll still be, because there's so much water here, there'll still be fairly large bodies of water that would look like an ocean, I guess you could say. But for the most part, all of the waterways, like, there won't be any rivers anymore, but there will be fresh water everywhere, at least where the land masses are, and all of those fresh water bodies will be kind of going in between all of these different pyramids and, you know, surrounding very large portions of natural habitat for different types of animals and what have you, but the way I see it, there shouldn't be any mountain ranges at all. That's just building material. If you got a problem with too much dirt, or your rocks have been destroyed for too long, start dumping that shit in the ocean, man. Give yourself more land. You have to start looking at this place like you were born and created to make it better. And I mean the entire globe. Right now, there's nothing on Earth, nothing that we've done, nothing about the way it looks, other than my ancestors' original creations, like the pyramids and what have you. But there's nothing here to brag about to anyone. There's nothing here to show off. There's no reason for anything of high intelligence in this universe that's above the Type 1 civilization to come here and say, ooh, that's cool, check that out. The idea is to get your planet to a point to where everybody won't want to see it. And then they'll come and start helping you, you know. And then you can go and visit them. Like I said, if humanity pulls through this thing, you guys would be fucking rock stars. Considering where you're at right now, the redemption arc here is not only necessary and needed at this point, but it would be one hell of a thing to pull yourselves back from. I mean, a lot of different species would be very impressed that you're even able to accomplish that. But like I said, you know, the way you asked that question originally there about, you're talking about knocking down mountains, you bet your ass. I'm talking about knocking down every fucking mountain range on the entire planet. That's perfect source material for pyramids everywhere. Again, that's going to take the entirety of humanity working towards that goal. Going to have to make a lot of different geologic type of decisions in the meantime. It's not like you can just go and wipe out an entire mountain range. You're going to start creating problems in the weather along the way that are going to need to be dealt with. Geologists aren't really prepared to handle stuff like that. You know, you're going to need your meteorologists involved. You're going to need farmers specifically. They need to be first and foremost in the conversation. Because if you start fucking with their ability to produce food, the labor force that's going to be able to knock down the mountain range in the first place isn't going to be alive to do it. But, you know, like I said, these are very long-winded problems that need to be discussed and combated before you actually start making those moves, you know. But it could happen. That's what happens on every other planet of anyone. It's not strange from anybody else's perspective. Like I said, that's why it's hard for me to be in this position here on Earth right now, because I know it exists outside of here. I know how far it can go. I also know the potential that humanity has right now and how they're just fucking throwing it all away. They don't even think about this kind of shit. You know, their goals thousand years in the future, let's say that's 20,000 years in the future. Shit, I've been looking hundreds of millions of years in the future for, you know, since becoming a Christ. It's absolutely amazing to me, the different things that I've seen and the different types of possibilities that exist, you know? Good luck selling that to people that are only thinking about where their next pair of shoes are coming from, or how they're gonna, you know, bang the next hooker that they find attractive, or whatever. How they're gonna eat their next delicacy that's on the endangered list. Go on down the line, you know, there's a million different things that people have consumed themselves with that have absolutely nothing to do with making anything better. And that's all I do, is try to make things better. Not for me. You know, I'm sitting here talking about shit that's, you know, generations into the future, millions of years at a time. I'm not gonna fucking experience this shit here. Doesn't mean I shouldn't be working on it.
Well, this is a radically different way of looking at the Earth.
Thank you. Good. Because what you're doing right now, the way you're looking at it now, ain't working. It's called hell. I agree. Wholeheartedly. Thank you for recognizing that.
Okay. So last night we talked about how we need both humans and certain types of technology in order to fix the Earth, which is contrary to the normal thinking, which says that it'd be better off if humans just disappeared. And now you're adding this third piece to it, which is that we have to treat the Earth like a spaceship, and we have to shape it in certain ways, as opposed to the normal line of thinking, which is that we should be shaped by the Earth.
Well, again, you're the way you asked that question was more of like an in the moment.
Yeah.
Rant that I just went on about knocking down the Rockies and starting to control the weather, that's in an abstract time perspective, a geological mind frame that doesn't really exist right now in the human perception. The human condition, even if you're taking it from the way I'm explaining how we were created 36,000 years ago, that's just 36,000 years. Even if you took the amount of time that has happened in between the end of the dinosaurs and humanity right now, that's only 65 million years. I'm giving you things that should be existing in the back of people's minds that give them purpose for doing what they do for the next, 400, maybe even 500 million years. And the reason why I'm saying that is because in that time frame, you're going to be dealing with a lot of external problems that are going to force you to radically change the way you look at Earth. You're either going to look at it like you want to keep it as a home, as a spaceship itself, or you're going to want to get the fuck out of Dodge. You know, one of those two things has to happen. You gotta look at this thing from a hundreds of millions of years kind of perspective, first and foremost, and develop different purpose inside of your mind. Eventually, those kind of purposes will become instinct. But that type of a thing could give you a lot of solutions along the way. I'm just saying, as a very far-off goal for humanity, what you should try to aim for is taking your Earth with you when you leave this place, as though it's a spaceship. In so doing, there's a lot that needs to happen in between here and there to make that a possibility. I'm just giving you, right now, based off of your questions, the furthest destination on that path towards that purpose. Like, right now, people don't even know why they're alive in the first place, much less what they should be doing to make life better, like, in the future, for anybody. But I'm saying, if humanity had some sort of a purpose in their mind, right now you got people that have too much money on their hands and make a whole bunch of stupid ideas, like colonizing Mars. Like I said, what the fuck is the point of even doing that? Doesn't even make any sense. The purpose that should be existing in all of those very wealthy people's minds is actually turning the Earth into a spaceship and getting the fuck out of here. If they were thinking with that structure in mind in the back of their brains when they're making decisions in the daily life that they're leading, there wouldn't be any talk about going and wasting a bunch of resources and money and labor towards going to Mars at all. You would put that money, labor, time, effort into something like knocking down the Rockies, for example, or building pyramids everywhere. You know, stuff like that. Whereas right now, people are just kind of throwing a dartboard with a fucking blindfold on, and every once in a while they'll take the blindfold off and say, "Ooh, that one looks like it's fun, let's go do that." So they start building electric cars, which is just an even dumber thing, you know? And that was something that I was into for years. But what I'm trying to explain here is to give humanity purpose again for an enormous project going to exist hundreds of thousands of generations into the future. But you better get started on it now, because if you don't start thinking in that way, those hundreds of thousands of generations, they won't even have a place to live at all. Doesn't matter if you want to go to fucking Mars and try to terraform it, which is, I'm telling you, it's like the dumbest idea I've ever heard, where you, you know, try to take care of the Earth. One of those different purposes is existing inside of quite a few seemingly intelligent, college-educated people on planet Earth right now. Those seem like viable solutions, and they're not. In so doing, in so having those types of solutions in their brain, a lot of these other purposes and structures and ideas, you know, all this potential that's sitting around them just gets wasted. Before you know it, they've spent their whole lives doing shit in their careers and spending money and, you know, resources to try to create a system that is, it's not sustainable. And they're fucking idiots. No matter how high their IQ is, no matter what college they went to, no matter who was teaching them, what they taught them, no matter what kind of books they wrote, no matter how many businesses they started, they're fucking idiots. They created hell. Every single human being needs to first and foremost tell themselves that. The only way that you can stop this weird kind of laziness drug from, you know, continuing to move forward, because that's really what it is. That's what laziness is. It's like a drug. The first thing you got to do to a drug addict, like I said, you got to slap them around and fucking dunk their head in a big ice water tank and, you know, strip them of all of their self-made, you know, complexities that they think they should be showing off to people. Like, wake the fuck up. What are you actually doing? What is your purpose for life? Tell me. Explain to me. That's what I want to tell most people. And they can't honestly answer that. So that's more or less the big upgrade that I'm trying to install, I guess you could say, in humanity while I'm here. Think about what the fuck your purpose is. I mean, for being alive, for being created in the first place, if you really work that algorithm or equation all the way through to, like, type 9 civilization, the shit that I'm talking about with you right now needs to be at the forefront. Because then it will dictate your movements now, and it'll make it easier on the people in the future. Right now, everything we're doing is making everything harder on people in the future. Because we're doing the opposite of that. You know, we're just trying to live in our own lives and act like we're, you know, subjected to Mother Nature, who's a wicked, evil bitch. That's not how it works. You know, we have a lot of strength and power in just being intelligent species. Time we started using that for the benefit of the universe instead of the benefit of our dicks or our whatever, you know. So, sorry, when you're asking me stuff like that, you know, the pyramids and everything that I'm talking about in the here and now way, that's what it's leading towards. This isn't something where I'm just saying, oh yeah, if we build pyramids, then we can all sit around and do nothing forever. I'm trying to give you purpose for the next, you know, 500 million years. You know why? Because I can't guarantee that you're going to get another messenger after me. All I can guarantee you is that if you do get a messenger after me, it won't be a human form. That's if you get another messenger. So humanity had better, you know, extract as much of this knowledge from me as possible now.
Yes.
Good. Sounds funner that way, though, doesn't it? And I mean, imagine what that's going to be like 100 million years into the future when you're like a quarter of the way there to building your Dyson sphere and leaving the solar system. Every single human being that's alive is going to desperately want to come back here. This will be heaven to everybody. Everybody will be like, oh my gosh, imagine what the next 5 lifetimes are going to be like. Okay, I don't my diet. Can I go back, please? Then I don't even have to judge you motherfuckers. I'd be like, you bet your ass, thank you. You're doing it right. Good job. And humanity's maker, he'll get huge and, you know, brings a tear to my eye thinking about it. I really hope you're able to do it.
You can do that.
But that's really what I'm trying. That's really what I'm trying to do. You know, it's hard for me to see what is possible and watch everybody throw it away. That's the difference between heaven and hell, and that's what my job is. Yeah, I think I should take a little break.
Okay, that's all right. Okay.
Cool, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.